When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Sadly, this is what home sounds like for many of America's heroes. During this crisis, many veterans are living on the street, sleeping on nothing more than cardboard. You can help. Donate at cardboardtoheadboard.org.
Hey there, Fangirl Nation. You are listening to Fangirl Sports Network's Get My Job podcast. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I am so excited to be joined today by founder and CEO of Hood Fit and my good friend, Erica Hood. Erica talks about the meaning behind Hood Fit's Rep Your Womanhood, building a sweat sisterhood, and the importance of investing in yourself as you continue to learn. She also talks about being able to pivot in business while sharing an obstacle that was difficult at the time, but ultimately became a major positive. Erica has an incredible energy and is honest about COVID anxiety and how she works through it. You guys are going to love this episode, so let's get to it. Erica, I'm so excited you are here today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Guys, you have no way of knowing this, so I'm going to tell you. Erica and I have trained together over the years so many times. She's my favorite. We have the most fun dancing, and we're going to talk about Hood Fit and what she's been doing. And I can just say that I am a big fan. I am a subscriber. Actually, just the other day, I did a 30-minute express dance cardio and then a 10-minute abs and butt workout, and they were so hard. And I just love everything you're doing. So I'm excited for you to talk about it and share with us and all the things. So let's jump on in. Let's start with you taking us through your professional journey up until this point and how you got here.
So I am originally from Texas. I moved out to California to pursue school, and I ended up going to Cal State Long Beach, where I double majored in dance and business marketing. I did the business marketing because my mom was like, dance isn't a real degree. And yet here I am still using that degree. But mom was right when it came down to the business side of it, because I'm running my own business now. Mm-hmm. After graduating college, I was really focused on, I pursued professional dance. I did the audition thing, lived in LA for a long time. And I danced in the music videos. I was performing in shows. And while that made me happy, I was still not feeling fulfilled. So I was teaching, fitness at the time was like my side hustle and my job and my income. And I had always loved teaching. And the more that I was in that, I was falling even more in love with helping people. And I found such satisfaction in helping other people achieve their goals. And so, I worked at some of the top studios in Los Angeles, and it finally just came to a point where like I kind of reached that pinnacle and like the top of it, to where I was like, okay, like this is as far as I can go with these companies. I think it's time to branch out and do it on my own. And hence Hood Fit was born.
Woohoo. So tell everybody, for those of us who don't, or for those of our listeners who don't know, what exactly Hood Fit is and the meaning behind it and all of that and the goals, all the things.
So luckily I married into a very awesome last name. My husband's name is Jordan Hood. And when we were coming up with ideas, because I definitely wanted this to have such meaning behind it. And the beautiful thing is that it all really came together so nicely. I at first was kind of like, do I want to include my name in the business? It's always kind of one of those things when you start to think about building your business. And I was like, I don't want people to always just think about my name. I want this to be about a bigger thing. Well, when I came up with Hood Fit, I was like, let's talk about what that really means. And, you know, when I started talking about community and like empowering women, we were able to come up with our Sweat Sisterhood, which is our community. So that Sweat Sisterhood ties into Hood Fit. And the main thing that really for us was the empowering women thing, because, you know, fitness is so much more than just the workout itself. It's so mental. And what I was finding when I was, you know, building my client base and really starting to make a difference in people's lives, it was really giving women the confidence to own like their own selves, to love themselves, to have confidence to move forward in what it was that they wanted to achieve in their lives. And so we came up with Rep Your Womanhood. And that means just owning, embodying your truth and repping that confidently out in the world. So like taking care of yourself in the health and fitness sector so that you can go out and rep your womanhood.
Fantastic. So you bring up something interesting about, you know, building a brand and all the iterations and how it started. And I think that's a really important thing no matter what is going on when you're starting your own business. Can you talk a little bit about that? Was it something that kind of just came to you, the marketing degree? Did that help? And I understand like how it evolved, but it just, I think it's important for people to understand that building a brand is not an easy thing to do. And it takes a lot of time.
It's, you're so right. It's, you have to really, really go into a deep dive. Like, I'm a creative person. I come from the dance world, literally dancing since I was 3 years old, like that creativity side of it. And then I do think, thanks, Mom, along with making me get my marketing degree, it gave me a different way of looking and thinking of things when it came time to run my own business. You know, having the building out and creative part was pretty fun. I got to really get like my husband and my family and my friends involved in the process too, because they know who I am and what I stand for. And so it was really cool to actually kind of bounce ideas off of them when it came to logo design and like, you know, the community name and like our slogan title, to be able to run that amongst the people that are nearest and dearest to myself. So it really, for me, felt like a fun process and like in piecing that all together as how I was going to present this thing to the world. Because again, it, you know, there are so many fitness companies out there, and there's a way to just be like, okay, we're just going to make you lose weight. And like, that's it. Like that. It, I'm like, no, there's something so much bigger than that for me. And I want to be able to have that messaging be clear. So it was I thought a fun process on the creative side, on being able to really like take a deep dive into how we can get that messaging across clearly. On top of it being a great workout and fitness thing in itself, because I already knew I had that piece. That was like something like programming as a trainer, like that's what I know how to do. And it was like, okay, how can we get and deliver this messaging so that people understand what we're really about, like morals and values?
I like that. I like that a lot. Can you talk a little bit about your programming? Because maybe not everybody knows what a Hood Fit workout looks like.
Absolutely. So, you know, again, with me being a dancer, everything that I do, as far as our group fitness classes go and our on-demand, our digital studio and our app, you're going to find that everything is rhythm-based. So I guess you could think of like a Zumba thing, you know, that kind of dancing and follow along stuff. It's going to be like that, but throughout the entire like workout. So say if I'm doing a dance and tone class, you're going to get some cardio with the dancing. I'll do some breakdown movements. So you're learning the choreography as we go. It's easy enough to follow along for people to mirror at home. And then through the toning work that we do, which is a lot of like based Pilates based, you know, movements, and things that we do on the mat with like light resistance weights. That's going to be to the music too. For Hood Fit, I also have a section for semi-privates and private training, and that can vary. It's not necessarily always done to the rhythm and to the music. In my group classes, I love to bring that together because I think there's something so beautiful and powerful about people moving in sync to the same beat. it's kind of like this thing. It's something that I loved about, you know, being on a dance team and in a studio for so long for dance. You get a connection with people when you're moving and sync together. And I think what's beautiful is that a lot of people who may not see themselves as dancers or have never danced before is to see that connection when they're with a group of people, whether it be now on Zoom or when it's in the studio, you feel this sense of it's true connectedness. You're like, this person is moving in sync with me and we're all moving together from all over the world. Like, that's the beauty of like what Zoom has brought, is that we're able to actually see each other in these little bitty boxes moving at the same time. And it's something that, like, you know, as divided as the world can be, and as we have seen it be, especially this past year, there's so much beauty in just seeing people like moving together without any inhibition, without any judgment, and just moving together to the music.
That's awesome. And it's so true, because people have said to me before, I don't want to do dance, I'm embarrassed. And the thing that's so funny is you realize you're not looking at anybody else. Like, everyone's
exactly
doing their thing. Like, everyone's, but you're doing it at the same time. And it is really cool. Like, if I take a moment to look at the Zoom or like look around the room, it's amazing, but everyone just doing their own thing. And there is something very cool about that.
Yeah.
So I love that. When you started your business, what is something that surprised you the most that you really didn't plan for?
I think, honestly, I knew starting my business that it was going to be a challenging thing. And if I'm being quite frank, I knew how much work was going to go into it. And I did like the ease of, for so long, for so many years, I mean, literally a decade, just like showing up at a studio space, teaching my class, leaving and kind of being done, you know, like not having to think about work. So I knew what I was like getting into in that aspect, that like the workload was really going to be full on. I think I was most surprised about people's opinions that just come out of nowhere. Like that kind of just cracked me up, because I was already in my head logistically thinking like, okay, like workload wise, what I was going to be taking on and how that was going to change my lifestyle and things that I had to do. But honestly, I think it was just people's opinions out of nowhere. You don't even ask their opinion, but yet people want to give their opinion.
Always. And when you put yourself out there, any of us starting a business on social media, people do just give their opinions. How do you deal with that on social media, or someone sends you a random email and tells you you suck, whatever it is they do, because people seem to feel comfortable doing that. How do you deal with that?
It's funny that people, I feel like, you know, behind screens and stuff, especially in this day and age, people feel so comfortable to just put comments up without any disregard to how that might actually make someone feel. And most of the times I feel like the things that are said, you're like, you would probably never say this to my face, you know? So for me, I always take everything with a grain of salt. You, number one, I kind of look at it like, I have no idea what this person's going through, what kind of day they're having, what they've been dealing with in their own life. Because I always feel like anytime there's a projection or an opinion coming out from someone, it's something that they're having to deal with in their own life. Mm-hmm. And so I truly take it with a grain of salt, knowing that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times, sometimes I'll mull things over and like kind of keep that thought in the back of my head of like maybe what they said. And maybe it might not make sense to me right then, but maybe it will help me somewhere down the line. So I'm open to listening and always very kind in my response to it. Like, never going to take a negative response to engage in any kind of conversation to go back and forth to stir the pot, but always grain of salt.
Always grain of salt. And oftentimes people, that's exactly what they're looking for. They may not even know what they say. All they want is to get a conversation going back and forth. I find that a lot on Twitter, and I'll start to respond and I'm like, you know what? I'm not even doing this, because
it's not even worth your time.
It's not. Yeah. They're just looking to get in a fight, and I don't need to get in a fight with anyone on Twitter that I've never met.
Exactly.
Over who's going to be the quarterback of the 49ers. Like, I don't need to do that. So no. But it is interesting. But you're right. People say things. I'm glad you brought that up, that it's a projection of themselves. It's something we talk a lot about on this podcast, on the idea of not taking things personally, because it's not personal. I'm constantly talking about the book, The Four Agreements, and I swear I'm not being paid to do it. I just think it's such a great book.
It's so great.
It really is. And it brings that home. And it was that book that kind of changed my life a little bit in that way. So I'm really glad that you brought that up, and that idea of it is a projection of them, because you have to think of it that way. Who's spending their time going online just to be mean to people? It says a lot.
Right.
So the grain of salt, I think, is very important.
Yeah.
So since you started HoodFit, it's evolved quite a bit. You have the digital studio, you have the app. Can you talk a little bit about that, kind of where, what your vision was for it when you started and kind of how it's grown since then?
Oh, wow. there has been, and I don't even know if you know this story, but when I had first started, HoodFit's still a baby. We're about 2.5 years old. So I started first with personal training in LA with my client base that I had already, you know, accrued over the years. I was doing live classes, group fitness classes in Beverly Hills and in Hollywood. And when right before the pandemic hit, we were actually looking at studio space in Dallas. Flying back and forth. I wasn't like saying anything out loud and like announcing it. You know, I knew that there was a lot of work that was going to go into that. So my husband and I spent about half the year flying back and forth from LA to Dallas to go scout places. We came so, so close to closing on a place. It fell through. And to me at the time, I had felt like hopeless. In my mind, I had this vision of, okay, I'm going to finally have my own studio. It was kind of like this dream that I had as like a younger girl when I was teaching dance at the age of 16 in my studio. I was like, I want to have one of these one day. Obviously that evolved and turned into a fitness studio. And you know, it was like, I was seeing my dream like right there, so close. Everything fell through, the pandemic hit. And I was like, okay, that was a blessing. That was a complete blessing. We had no idea. And I thought it was like the worst thing that could have happened. And, you know, then it just went into this flip mode of, okay, well, how do we move forward from here? Nobody had any idea of how long this was going to happen and how long we were going to be in, you know, the pandemic and dealing with lockdowns for. And so, you know, luckily my husband, he's amazing when it comes to just working on the fly when there's a problem and he just jumps into action. He's like been an event producer and worked major music festivals. So like he's used to like, you know, there's a problem and now we have to act quick to find a solution in real time. So that's when we started to work on getting the digital studio and app up and running. And we spent most of 2020 preparing everything for that launch because there's so much work that goes into the back end of that. And we were able to do a soft launch at the end of 2020. And now we have our digital fitness studio online and our app, which is available on iOS and Android. So it's really cool because, you know, in the picture that I had seen was that studio in Dallas. But the beauty of this has been that I've been able to connect with people from literally all over the world. Like seeing them on the Zooms and in the class from like the UK, from all over the US and different parts of Europe to Canada. Like it's just been incredible. And to hear, you know, to see the Sweat Sisterhood growing and to hear these women's stories opening up to me that like I've never met before in person that are messaging me and telling me how their lives have been changed, whether it's just been, you know, you helped keep me sane during 2020. You helped me work through this. I feel so much better in my body and my skin and my mind. Like, it's just such a beautiful thing. And for me, I feel like that was hard to grasp. I thrive for in person. Like, I just live off of that energy person to person. And so it was just kind of hard for me at times to wrap my head around the digital space. But now that we're in it and we just like worked our asses off to get there, like, you know, it just, I think it's the coolest thing to be able to connect on a bigger scale.
And how important is having that adaptability? Because I think the pandemic showed us all we had to adapt and change on the fly. And I think sometimes, especially for people just starting out in their careers, they're very laser focused. Like, this is what I want to do, and this is what I'm doing. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about a bit of an adjustment, because you, when the studio fell through in Dallas, it could have turned into, I don't want to do this anymore, it's too hard, all of that kind of stuff. So how were you able to reframe that? And is that something you've always been able to do?
Oh, I definitely had. I mean, I sulked in that moment for a little bit.
Which is fair. And that's important too. And I think it's important to honor that and understand that it's okay to sulk and be upset.
I think, you know, and this is being so honest, like if you think about, you know, I'm 34 going on 35, and I had at the age of 15, 16, envisioned the studio. Like, that was like my first time to have that kind of dream. So that was kind of a long time, like leading up to it, that it's been like in my mind and been there. So I feel like it had to take me some time to process when it was like right there at my fingertips and then fell through. And, you know, when people, when family and friends would be like, oh, it's okay, there's something better, you know, there's, and they say the sayings, it didn't really feel like it was comforting. It still felt like I had to have a moment to like work through that. And I think it was probably like a week of just like feeling really, really sad about it. And it was my husband that was like, okay, you've got to snap out of this. We've got to, you know, we can still, we've got to look for more. It went to, let's look for more locations. Let's maybe find a different place. Pandemic happened. And I think that was a huge lesson for me, because truly, had we had gotten that space, which in my timing would have been like the greatest thing ever, but then the pandemic would have hit and we would have just been either not even opening doors or just have had open doors. You know, it wouldn't ideally have been the best thing. So I think learning to be flexible, to like have your mindset and your dreams there, but to know that pivoting and going in a different direction is okay too. Like, don't be so stubborn and caught up on the thing that you want to do, and always know that bigger picture, there's so many different ways that you can usually go. There's so many different roads that you can take to get somewhere. It doesn't always have to be like a one road thing. There's so many different roads that can get you, and it may be a roundabout thing to get you there. You may never end up at that place. Like, we might not ever have a physical studio space. Seeing how this app and this digital studio space is going, that like I hadn't learned about before. I think that was too. I think when you're building something, and maybe sometimes it can be almost like you're like, oh, I got to learn more new things. I got to add more things to my, you know, I had to learn. I am not a tech person. And all of a sudden diving into the tech space, I was like, well, okay, it's a new thing every day. And you just have to be flexible. You have to be flexible and open-minded.
Like, those are two very important things for any industry and any career, flexible and open-minded, because life, I mean, not to be cliche, but life comes at you fast and things change fast. And what's the best thing one day is not, or what's the cool thing is not. And not that you can get so, you don't want to get so caught up in that. You got to stay true to yourself and what you're doing. But there's every day a changing platform or addition, and it is important to be flexible and be open to maybe making changes that are good for you, even if they weren't what you wanted in the beginning. And I think that's a very important thing. So let's talk a little pandemic. Obviously, it changed things for you drastically that you've talked about. How have you managed to stay kind of calm and sane most of the time? Because I don't think anyone has the 100% of the time. And how do you help your clients to do the same?
I was going to say, I don't think I've been calm. And if you ask my husband, he'd be like, you are a ball of stress and anxiety.
But I think, you know what? That's important to honor and talk about as well. How do you, so maybe there's a better way to put that. How do you not let that energy rule your every day? I'll put it that way.
Well, I have to admit, you know, in the beginning that it was the pivot that I've talked about, you know, having to learn something completely new. I think a hard part for me too, and this took me a while into it to see, because I just went into laser focus, like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is how we're going to change. I've got to get everything online. I'm still going to be training my clients, doing my classes. I think amidst it all, like training my clients, doing my private sessions, you know, it's a vulnerable space when you're working out with people, right? When they're moving their bodies, and especially when it's like one-on-one, having to hear not only what was going on in the news and in the world, but talking with my clients and hearing like devastating news about loved ones that, you know, family that was passing or people that were in the hospital. I mean, I would literally be like tearing up as we're like starting our session and they're telling me what's going on, you know, because it's a check-in every time. How are you doing? How are you feeling? And it would be like this offload of like sad and terrible news during this pandemic. And I would be literally on the verge of tears, because I'm a very, very in tune, emotional, like connected with people. And so when I hear and I feel and I see what they're feeling, like I take on those emotions. And so I actually learned a lot about myself in having to really listen and recognize what's going on with that person and with their bodies, which I already did, but this was on like a deeper level of then what that session needs to be tailored to that person and what they needed. It was a hard time. I definitely felt stressed, anxious. I think for me, I found a lot of joy when I was teaching my classes and dancing and seeing all these little boxes on the Zoom and people showing up amidst what they were going through and still wanting to move their bodies to feel good. That there was like that community and that hope. Right. And I just had to kind of like energetically not always, I'd say take it home with me, but I was always home.
But yeah, I get it.
I would have to figure out how to kind of, I don't know if the word is right, compartmentalize almost. Like, as far as my emotional being was going, I had to like give myself moments of like free time to like not think about what was actually happening, because it was the constant talk about in work, right?
Yeah.
So meditation, reading, maybe going outside on a walk, like just like finding like things to decompress. That definitely had to be like in the mix. Because as you know, like being home too, and like I felt like almost we were working more. I felt like I was doing even more, because you didn't have to drive anywhere and you could just keep logging on. So it was kind of taking time to actually disconnect.
Well, and that was important. And there became a time in the pandemic where I would start to say, okay, I'm done working at this point. I mean, that's not always going to happen. But, and sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it was making a choice that was like, okay, well, if I do want to work out in the middle of the day, or I do want to do this in the middle of the day, then I am going to have to do work later. And that's okay. But for the most part, making a decision that like, okay, it's 6:30, I'm done working now. That's it. I'm done for the day, because it's very hard when you are working from home. And for someone like me who, yes, normally works from home, but also oftentimes is working from a stadium or on a shoot, I would have plenty of time to be out of the office, out of my home office, and now I wasn't having that. So I could really be working 24 hours a day if I wanted to. So you have to hit that point. And I think the time to disconnect that you just said was also really important, because it was everywhere. Especially in the beginning, there was nothing else to talk about. Nothing.
Yeah.
That was very difficult. You said something that I find really interesting for the pandemic, and then also not for the pandemic, the idea that listening to your client and then having to tailor a workout. So when you could come in with this is what we're going to do, and then listening to your client, I don't know that everyone has that ability. Is it something you've always been able to do? You said you're very in tune emotionally, which I firsthand know is 100% true. but how difficult is that? And how do you do it in a way that doesn't make the client feel like, oh, we're slowing down because I'm down to, you know what I mean? That still kind of builds them up and empowers them.
I feel like I've always had that awareness to, I think because it comes from learning from myself, I've always been very in tune with my own body and with emotions. I can't necessarily say I can like pinpoint why I'm having those emotions. I just feel all emotions. And then it's kind of like trying to like learn through myself, like to figure out what and why that's coming up for me. And I think with that ability to see that in other people, I can then relate or understand through whether it be my experience or a friend or family that's been like a loved one near me that's gone through something that might be relatable to my client, that I can then kind of share almost in a way like, hey, I've been through this, or hey, my loved one has been through something like this. And you know what? I like know that I'm sure you're feeling XYZ, and that's really hard right now. So what we're going to do in order to make you feel better is actually do this today. And just know it's going to be okay. Like, you know what I mean? Because I do think sometimes when people approach a workout, they have in their mind like, oh, if they just don't like, you know, just pound their bodies and just go so full out and extreme that it's like not a good workout. But what's crazy is that like sometimes your body is, because of the stress of the world or the emotions or whatever it is that you're dealing with, when times are tough, your body's already so stressed out. Like, and you may not even realize it, your muscles, your bones, everything inside you, that sometimes taking it into just a more calming, relaxing, like stretch flow, low impact workout is gonna actually energize you and make you feel better than doing like an intense, extreme hit, heavyweight, you know, thing. So, you know, there's definitely a connect to, it's like we're not machines, we're people. Like, and every day is different. Every day feels different. You know, everyone has, sometimes you wake up feeling good, sometimes you don't. And that's because we're human. And so I think like being able to listen to that, that's what I, you know, try to teach my clients is like, listen to how you're feeling and then choose your workout for that day. Maybe you just need to go on a walk. You know, like maybe that's all your body needs that day. You don't, you know, it doesn't always have to be full on extreme. So yeah, I feel like that just really helped relating it to people that either that I went through, that they went through. I mean, then again, we were navigating, this was all new to all of us. So like, I actually felt sometimes the same way that they felt. Like, I'm like, I feel you, like my heart is heavy. Like, this is hard times.
I think that's really true. And the idea of listening to your body is so important. And it's something I think that comes up a lot in the fitness industry, but it's so true and so important, because I think the other thing that can happen is if your body's like that and you push it, that's where injuries happen. That's where you kind of fall apart and nobody wants that.
Absolutely.
So in kind of a little bit along the same lines, as you are now creating content in your digital studio for your app, how do you keep the workouts fresh? Especially because there is a little bit, sometimes even in a group class, if you can read the energy of a room, you could change it on a Zoom, or when you're filming things, it's probably different. So how do you do that creatively, keep your content fresh?
Well, I feel like for me, you know, again, with like being a dancer my entire life, like choreographing and coming up with like new steps and stuff has always been something that like is ingrained in me and something that feels fun for me. I think for keeping it fresh, now on our digital studio and app, I can't use regular music. So it is non-copyright music. So it's not like your normal radio top 40s songs that you're hearing. In my Zoom classes, I can use that kind of music.
Okay.
So I feel like for me, getting like really creative is like I choreograph or listen to songs that I like actually love that are like on the radio and like playing now. Like, you know, I find music that I just love to move to because naturally my body will just kind of want to go. And I feel inspired by the beat and by the song. Like, music truly moves me. So I feel like keeping it fresh, I'll choreograph my stuff there. And then when I have to film and pump out, you know, more workouts and content, I just interchange the track mix. But I already kept it like, you know, I was inspired and invigorated by my creation from A, and then just put it to track B.
Okay. That makes sense.
I think too, with seeing people on Zoom, and like, it's been a learning experience too, because I've never taught like this digitally before, not to this extreme. I think it's interesting to see how people are learning. I started taking classes too. I would take other instructors, my friends, I would take their classes, and I'd see and put myself in the position of what it was like to learn from a video. I mean, if you think about that, we really weren't doing that to this level. So it was a different thing. So I had to kind of do my due diligence and research to also help enhance my creativity on the back end of how I was going to like deliver that. Cause like when we're in the studio shooting, it's just me, the camera, and my husband. And right. So like to like get that energy to like as if you're teaching a room, a full classroom of 20 to 30 people, mm-hmm. but yet you're alone and just working out the entire time. That's different.
I would imagine that's very different. And how do you ever have trouble getting yourself up for that?
Oh my gosh, all the time. I'm being so honest.
Good.
I will tell people like it is when they're like, you just have so much energy and you're just working out all the time. Oh my gosh, you must just love it. You're just, and I'm like, I do love it. That is why, you know, I started my company. You know, there's days where like we have to shoot kind of like, you know, 3 to 4 workouts. That could mean we're in here for a couple of hours. So mentally, I have to really pep myself up knowing what I'm in for to do that. I think when I keep in the back of my mind, even though in real time I'm just staring at my husband in the camera,
right?
I'm constantly having to imagine the sweat sisterhood and like knowing, and when I'm getting that feedback from them and DMs and comments and text messages, or they're telling me like, hey, you really helped me. This is like really awesome that you're providing this. You know, I love this. That is what keeps me going on a bigger scale versus actual real time.
That makes sense. That's always, I mean, I think it would have to. Yeah. Even as someone who's not teaching but taking classes, there are certain days where I'm like, I really don't want to be in a class. I don't want to be in a Zoom class. I don't feel like dealing with other people. And then there are days where I'm like, I need that class energy.
Yes.
So I think that's really important. And I think it's helpful for people to know that you feel the same way. And that's totally fair. It is hard. It's hard to get your energy up when there's just no one there. So I get that.
I know. It's so different with doing these pre-recorded videos. Again, another huge learning experience of like how to deliver and connect. Because in the time in your head, you're like, this is so silly. I'm just sitting here talking to myself. I know that someone else is going to see this, but as far as like the energy goes and conversation carries and things that I might say in a class to like ask the class how they're feeling, it's just me.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. I completely understand. But I think that's good and helpful for people to know. It's relatable.
Yeah.
100%. Switching gears a little. When you were first starting out, or maybe it's even been more recently, I know we talked a little bit about people giving their opinions that we don't want. Well, none of us want, really. But have you ever received a criticism from someone that you really looked up to or really admired, that, or anyone really, that was difficult to take, but it helped you in the long run?
You know, this is bringing me back to a kind of a time in college. So I had to audition to get into the dance program. And I got in, and that is why I came from Texas to California, West Coast. I was so excited. I didn't know a single person out here. Everything was brand new to me. Within the first month of school, we had had one of my college professors, we all had to have office hours. So I went in and this college professor literally looked at me and said, "You're never going to make it as a dancer and you should move back to Texas." And here I am, little like 18 year old, just moved out all the way across the US, don't know anyone. And my professor, which by the way, I had already auditioned and got into the program, first month in, was like, "You're not going to amount to anything. You should just go back to Texas now." That like was, I think, a really hurtful moment for sure. I had to process that. I had to have a moment with that because it really, being so young and nimble and like looking up to these professors who they all danced for big, major dance companies. Mm-hmm. I just felt heartbroken. I was like, well, you know, and the thoughts went through my head. Maybe she's right. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm not good enough. And I could have really like sulked in that moment and like listened to them. But I feel like what I took from that professor was, "I'm going to show you otherwise." Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is I was at that school for 5 years.
Okay.
I had double majored during that time. So I was going to school constantly around the clock. I was doing every summer session the max amount capacity because nothing crossed over from business to dance as far as classes right. went. So I put in so much work. I like hunkered down. That professor was like that to me the whole way through. And finally, when I came up to graduating day, I was over in the dance department and that professor had said, "Oh, what are you doing here?" And I was like, "Oh, just stopping by to check in on the class." And, you know, they were like, "Oh, I thought you graduated already." And I was like, "Actually, I was just finishing up my other major for business marketing." The next comment out of that professor's mouth was, "Oh, I didn't think you had it in you." And I was just like, okay, like it became this thing where it fueled, but in a weird way, it was like this like negative criticism towards me. I don't know like where that was coming from this professor. And I don't know if it was a projection from them or if they thought that that was like a teaching thing on themselves that they were trying to just show me like hard luck. I don't know. And I never will, but I feel like that just gave me this like push to want to be like, whatever it is that I want to set out to do, I can do and I will do, and no one is going to tell me otherwise.
And that's an amazing thing to be able to do with that. That's incredible. And is that, I know you said you had to have a moment with it and process that. How did you do that and use it as fuel?
I mean, I truly think that it was quite a few years of work of getting through that, because I think there's that voice that stays in your head. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, I've had some great teachers in my life, like some great dance teachers that have boosted my confidence and made me feel great. And then clearly in this example, this was a not great situation. And, you know, for whatever reason, obviously, I feel like it was meant to happen, because it taught me to have that resilience that if even someone's telling you no, that deep down inside, you can take that and show them that you can, because that's one person's opinion. Like, I was letting that kind of sit in my head for that, you know, my entire college time. It was there in my head. I had to see that teacher and work with that teacher over the years. And it was just constantly like, I was not good enough. Like, I didn't deserve to be there kind of thing. And I had to just in the back of my head be like, I rightfully earned my spot. There was no favors done. I auditioned. I got this. So there must be a reason why I'm here. And I'm going to work so hard and prove that.
That is awesome. That is awesome. But it's amazing you were able to do that. But I think it's important for our listeners to hear that, because we all have people that say things like that to us for whatever the reasons may be. And you said something that's so important. That is one person's opinion. That does not make it a fact. It's one person's opinion.
And I think that's the thing, like, especially when I'm training clients and working through things, and when we start to dive into like self-doubt and what's going on in someone, and I'm like, well, where do you get that from? And they're like, well, this person told me. I'm like, and it's one person. This is just an opinion, you know? You don't want that opinion to run your entire life.
And that's such an important thing. You cannot let one person's opinion run your entire life. No. And it's very difficult.
It's hard.
You could have 100 amazing opinions and then one negative one, and that's the one that you stick with. But it's important to kind of put that in perspective.
Yeah.
Kind of with that in mind, if you could give someone starting off in your industry one piece of advice, what would that be?
Don't throw in the towel.
I like that.
Don't throw in the towel. That you are going to be tested and tried, especially in this industry for fitness. Oh my goodness. You want to talk about being physically and mentally pushed? I mean, when you're running a fitness company, it is like you have to walk the walk, talk the talk, and you need to be right with yourself. You can only put stuff out and like fake it for so long, but you have to be mentally and physically like so ready. And there's going to be things thrown your way all the time, like we've kind of been talking about. I mean, you're going to get hit left and right with things that you couldn't even imagine. Don't throw in the towel. If this is something that you want, that you feel so called to do, that is your passion, like that's, I feel like that burning passion inside for what I have with HoodFit and what we're building, that has felt like, I mean, everything I've worked up until this point has aligned with that. If you feel a calling, whether or not it's been like most of your life, if you like all of a sudden have this thing that you feel called to do, and this is the industry you want to be in, do not throw in the towel. Keep putting in the work. You're going to be tested all the time, physically and mentally all the time.
So kind of with that in mind, because physically and mentally, I'm sure you are tested all the time. Could you take us through a day in the life of Erica Hood?
Ooh, pre-pandemic or pandemic now? No, I'm just kidding.
I would say, why don't we say we could do either, but I think maybe pandemic.
Okay.
I think pandemic.
Okay. So this is, Jordan and I, we wake up early. We're early risers. A lot of my clients who would train at like 5 and 6 a.m. during the pandemic chose not to.
Okay. Understand. Fair. Totally fair.
So that actually was nice because it felt like a sleep in for me. So I would wake up at like 5 a.m. I'd, start with.
Was that sleeping in?
Yes.
I need to interrupt you for 1 second. Did you wake up at 5 a.m. with sleeping in?
Yes.
Because like I really treated myself. I did not get up till 5 in the morning.
I have to think about, pre-pandemic, I would wake up sometimes at 4 to like, you'd have to get ready, get on the road, drive, to your spots to train your clients starting at 5 or 6. Right. So sleeping until 5,
Amazing.
I would then what was nice about that is that I got to take time to kind of like do my morning thing. So I would just actually hopefully have time to like eat my breakfast, stretch a little bit, get my mind right for the day. And then it would just be logging on to Zooms. I usually start with my private clients in the morning. Sometimes I also have a morning class in there. So I'm just clicking over from Zoom to Zoom. And then I have my lunch break that I try to schedule in. Again, we've talked about before how it's like, oh, I forgot to eat lunch. you just start going with your appointments. So I'd make sure to have lunch, and then that would either be filming more content or having to put stuff out on socials, and then just make sure that all of our communications and everything on the back end is done. Like right now, and still it's just me and Mr. Hood. We do have a couple of interns, but like it's just us doing everything. So it's answering all the emails. It's making sure that all the sites are up and running. It's everything on the back end. And then it's just, investing in some business coaching and learning. We're always learning. So Jordan and I are spending also hours in the evening to learn to enhance our business, because you don't know what you don't know. And there's lots to learn out there.
I like you don't know what you don't know. And it's so true. You really don't. I mean, think about the amount of times a day you say, I didn't know that. Like,
okay, I have to, this is funny because there's so many times during this where I would be like, Jordan, how do you do this? And he'd go, babe, just YouTube it. I'm like, I don't want to YouTube it. That was always his answer for like learning stuff. And he was learning everything too like that. And YouTube is incredible for doing that. Yes. But yeah. It got to the point where I was like, I don't have time to watch like a video on how to do this step. Like,
But so then what would you do? Is that what the business coaching comes in?
Well, yes, the business coaching is like, has been amazing. I mean, it's all the stuff where I'm like, wow, we should have started this business coaching a little bit sooner had we known, you know, because it is, you're building that foundation. They're literally, the one that we're going through is like teaching us everything we could possibly know about the foundation of building like a fitness company. So, okay. And you know, I think it's humbling too, because there's things that I do know and that I feel that I really excel in, but like, also like, there's just so much information out there. And like, if you want to be a successful business and like, if you want your business to thrive, I think it's important that you do invest in yourself and learning, even if it's not for necessarily you. Like if we had a bigger team, I would probably have, you know, more of my team also making sure that there's learning along the way, that they're doing courses along the way, because there's always space to improve and do something better.
That is very true. That is very true. Erica, this has been awesome. I have had so much fun with this, and it was so exciting for me because, as I mentioned at the beginning, I've known you a long time. We've trained together. It's like, it's the most fun you have. You really do have an incredible energy. And even in your, you know, when it's just you and Jordan and it's harder to build it up, you would definitely not know that. So you've really, it's incredible. So this was a lot of fun. And it's also so nice for me to hear like the mindset and the branding and how you got to everything. And it's been incredible. I know our listeners feel that way as well, but I obviously cannot let you go yet because first we have to do 5 fun facts with Erica Hood. All right, Erica, what's your favorite moment in sports?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I would have to say, I mean, I love football. Like, I'm a Texas girl, so like football is like my thing. But I would have to say favorite moment in sports would be Simone Biles. Awesome. Olympics. What year was that? 2019? Where she had that amazing floor routine and brought out her brand new skill, which I don't even know what the skill was called, but it was like brand new.
It was amazing. I can see it. It's funny because I can totally see her doing it in my head. And it
yes. I think it's mind-blowing that like she took something so like the sport that's been around forever, and yet she came up with a brand new skill within the sport.
No, it was amazing. Yeah. And she's amazing.
Yeah.
What is your life motto?
5, 6, 7, 8, just do it.
Oh, I love that. I have to write that down, guys. Sorry for the delay, but that's so good. 5, 6, 7, 8, just do it. Amazing. Well, I kind of know the answer. This is a funny one to ask you, but everyone gets the same 5 questions. What's your go-to workout?
Oh, HoodFit.
Obviously. It would have been amazing if you were like, I really love Peloton. I really do love Peloton, but the idea of you being like, oh, my go-to? I would say HoodFit. And I will say, full disclosure, HoodFit is one of my go-tos as well. I love the digital studio. So subscribe.
Thank you.
It's amazing. What is your go-to coffee order? I know you're sleeping until 5 a.m. now, but what is your go-to coffee order?
I love just an iced, non-fat vanilla latte.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Very good. And a book every woman should read.
Everything is Figureoutable by Marie Forleo.
Okay. I like that. Everything is Figureoutable. And reality is, everything is. Erica, thank you so much for joining me today. This was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me. This was such a treat. I loved catching up with you and getting to talk with you. It was so great.
If you guys like what you heard, and I know you did, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Fangirl Sports Network. And Erica, tell everybody where to follow you. We'll tag you, but still tell us where to follow you.
Yes, you can follow me on IG at Erica Hoodfit and then also at Hoodfit.
Fantastic. All right, guys, we will talk to you next week. Bye, all.
Sports opinions with a side of satire.
We're the First and Tens, a weekly show delivering the spiciest opinions on football, life, and especially each other.
And we can do that because we've been best friends for so long. I'm Amy.
And I'm Jasmine. First and Tens will bring you sports from the female perspective while also injecting pop culture, fashion, and music into our daring dialogue.
We're saucy, edgy, and most of all,
we think we're funny AF.
First and Tens, light on stats,
heavy on sass. Follow us at firstandtenspodcast.com.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.